Good evening. If you want to turn over to Matthew chapter 24, about verse 36, and we're going to spend just about all of our time tonight, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through chapter 25. This was sort of going to be the Sunday morning lesson up until a point that I got scared and decided to go a different direction. So we're gonna try it on a Sunday night. A few weeks ago, we talked about Revelation. So tonight we'll talk a little bit more about what we know and what we don't know concerning the second coming of Christ. And again, there are some things that we do know, and there are some things that we don't know. That's probably a little confusing. How can there be some things that you know and then some things you don't know? I think as husbands, we know that there are absolutely things that you can know and things that you can't know. We know that. So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. So we talk about the second coming of Christ. And again, we're going to just use that Matthew 24, 36 through the end of chapter 25, because really that whole text, really all of chapter 24 and parts of 23 are just really one long sermon that Jesus is teaching. And we're going to look at that. Again, Matthew chapter 24, 36 through chapter 25, Jesus there is talking about his second coming. And what he's telling us there in those verses are there are some things that you can know, and there are some things that you absolutely must know. But he's also saying there are some things that you don't know, and as Christians, we need to know the difference, and we need to be okay with that difference. So we're going to kind of have a lot of scripture tonight, so if you want to write those down and investigate further, I encourage you to do that. Now, we could go to different places throughout the New Testament, and we kind of will to a point to see other things, but again, for the most part, we're going to stick here with what Jesus says in Matthew. And so first, let's talk about the reality of his coming. What do we know? Well, the first thing, we know that Jesus is coming back. That is absolutely certain. When you get to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, does it say if the Son of Man? You don't find the word if there. You don't find if the Son of Man comes in glory. It says when. None of us see that. This isn't a matter of if, it's a matter of when, and we know that he's coming. And so Matthew chapter 24 records Jesus talking about that day, the certainty that day is coming. And we know it's coming, but again, we don't know when. So if we look there at what Jesus says in verse 36, he says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." So again, how many people, how many angels, how many sons know? No one knows, not the angels, not the Son of God. Even when Jesus was on the earth, he didn't know the time or the coming, but only the Father. And verse 36, no one knows. And then if you look at verse 39, what's he talking about there? Talking about the days of Noah, that they didn't know or they weren't aware when the flood was going to come until it did. And so we don't know when Jesus is coming in verse 36, just like they didn't know the flood was coming in verse 39. So then Jesus says in verse 42, "Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." And I flip over maybe a page over to 25, verse 13. There Jesus says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." You can't even narrow it down to like a 24-hour period. A day you don't know, the hour you don't know. Jesus is very emphatic that we can know that he is coming back, but we absolutely do not know when he's returning. And it's bold. It's borderline presumptuous then to think that we do, to start claiming, to start predicting that we know when he's coming, when again, Jesus emphatically states that no one knows, that there aren't going to be any signs that are going to precede Jesus' return. And I'm kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but go to verse 32 of chapter 24 and think about what we just read just before. You don't know. You don't know, you don't know. Then verse 32. It's a little bit different context, but Jesus says, from the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts out its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see all these things. Well, what's he talking about here? Well, everything that he's been talking about since verse 1 of this chapter, really even back into chapter 23 when he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem. He says here in verse 33, so also when you see all these things, you know that he is near at the very gates. He's saying that when you see these things taking place, you will know that the destruction of Jerusalem is at hand. And so that word know again in verse 33, that the destruction of Jerusalem had signs that preceded it, and they could know, those who had eyes to see and ears to hear, they could know when it was going to happen. But then you get to verse 36, and he says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. You can see the difference there. They could know when the city of Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, because there's going to be things leading up to it, but we cannot know when Jesus is going to return. And so he says, we know he's coming, but we don't know when. And he says the coming is going to be sudden and it's going to be unexpected. And I've probably said it more than a few times, but there will be no signs preceding it. There won't be any warnings. Verse 36 says again, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. As for the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Again, what are we talking about here? The days of Noah. He continues on, verse 38, for as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. They didn't know the flood was coming until when? Until the flood showed up, right? Noah had been warning about it for years and years, but they didn't know when it was going to happen until it happened. And Jesus says that's exactly the way it's going to be when I return. You can see in those verses what they were doing. People were going about their regular lives. People were getting married. They were going and having a meal. And then in verse 40, he says, then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. And these two verses are some big business for some people, right? There are all sorts of doctrines that are taught just around these verses. And really, it nullifies what Jesus is saying here. I mean, if you knew Jesus was going to come tomorrow, would you go to work? No way. No way, none of us would go to work. I don't need a paycheck. I'm going to go to heaven, right? But these people here, what are they doing? They're going to work. The man in verse 40 is going out in the field. The woman in verse 41 is going to the mill. Why would you go to work? Because they did not know that the Lord was coming. What does it mean that one's going to be taken and the other left? Again, there's all sorts of teachings around this, that it's all talking about the rapture, when the righteous are taken and the unrighteous are left. But the problem is that's just not what's being talked about here. What's being talked about here is that people are going to be going about their regular activity, and then all of a sudden the coming of Jesus. And it's so sudden and it's so unexpected that there's a complete separation of the people. Sometimes what people say here is the righteous are taken and the unrighteous are left. Except again, you have to go back to verse 39. Who was taken in verse 39? If you want to talk about a rapturous event, which this isn't, but he's saying that they didn't know that the flood was coming until it took them all away. So who did the flood take away? It took away the unrighteous. The flood wiped out the unrighteous. Who was left? Noah and his family. Can this be talking about God taking the righteous and then leaving the unrighteous? It's not what he's talking about, because that's not even close to the context here. Jesus isn't talking about that kind of event. He's simply saying that this is going to be so sudden and so unexpected, people are going to be at work. They're going to be doing their regular thing, and all of a sudden there will be a complete separation of those who are there. That they're going to go to one of two different places, either, and it's going to be unexpected. Verse 43 says, "Know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into." Again, if you've ever had your house broken into, what point did you get the notification from the robber that he was going to show up? Right? You probably didn't, right? That's Jesus' point. If you knew the thief was coming, you would be ready. You would have made some preparations. But we don't know when the thief is coming. There is no warning. There's no time to change once he comes. It's so sudden and unexpected. The Bible teaches, Jesus says, it will be like seemingly like a long delay. And in verse 48, he says, "But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed,'" well, was the master delayed, or was the master delaying? No, it just felt like that to that wicked servant. Chapter 25, 5, and we'll talk more about chapter 25 next week, but that story of the 10 virgins, the bridegroom was delayed in 25, verse 5. It just seems like it's a long delay, which makes the second coming even more sudden and more unexpected. Back up to 24, verse 50, it says, "The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know." Again, just reinforcing, Jesus is going to come back when people aren't ready, when people aren't looking. So what do we know about the reality of his coming? Well, number one, we don't know when, and that there isn't going to be any sign. He's not going to send a text message the night of and say, I hope you're ready, going to be seeing you tomorrow morning. That'd be great to get that text message, though, wouldn't it? To know, what would you do if you got a text from Jesus that said, "I'll see you in the morning"? Again, would you go to work? No. Would you stay in bed and say, "Jesus, just shake me awake when you get here"? I don't think you'd do that either. I think you would get up and make sure you had done everything right, at least that day, so that you could be ready. But you're never going to get that text message, ever. He's going to come at an unexpected time, and we know that that's how it's going to be. And when that happens, it will be the final event for humanity on earth as we know it. I think one of the most sobering verses in the Bible is Matthew 25:10, where it does talk about those 10 virgins, and 5 were wise and 5 were foolish, how those 5 foolish virgins had not made the preparations. And so they went away to find more oil. And then they came back, and chapter 10, or verse 10 of chapter 25 says, "While they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." Well, when the door to heaven is shut, it's not going to open again. If you look real quick to Genesis 7, verse 16, that's where Noah and his family and the animals went onto the ark, and the Bible says that God shut them in. What does that indicate? Nobody else was getting on the ark. God shut the door. Well, when Jesus returns, the door to heaven is going to be shut. It is the final event, and judgment will then commence. There are some that teach that Jesus comes back and there's a period of time and then judgment. But again, if you look at verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25, he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." So again, when is he going to sit on his throne of glory? It says when he comes. That word then connects to say that judgment is going to happen when Jesus comes back. Not years later, but in that moment. So again, what do we know? We know the reality of his coming. We know that there are some things that we just don't know, and we need to be okay with some things that we don't know, but we had better be ready with those things that we do know. And so tonight, think about that. Are you ready? If Jesus were to come back today, if his coming were sudden and unexpected and it came before even we left here tonight, would you be ready? That's the reality of his coming. The reality of his coming should wake Christians up to the responsibilities that we need to do before he comes. Again, those five foolish virgins, they were not ready. They had to take their responsibilities serious. Next week, we're going to talk some more about those responsibilities and get more into to chapter 25. We're going to kind of stick a pin in it right here, and we'll pick that up next Sunday night. Tonight, if you're not a Christian and you are moved to put Christ on in baptism, you've made that decision to confess Christ's name before men and to put him on in baptism, now would be an opportune time to come and make that known. If you have a request or prayers that need to be known by the congregation, please come.